Media. Our face is toward you. We live on your word. And I want to ask, Lord, in your name, that Father, that as we open this word this morning, that you would enliven us to it. And that, Father, that there'll be an immediate connection to every word that we read this morning. Holy Spirit of the living God, fall fresh upon your people. Fall fresh upon your word. Fall fresh upon this moment. We invite your Spirit to teach us, to illumine us, to come alongside, because that's who you are. You're the great paraclete, the one that is called alongside to help, to intercede, Lord, to teach, to comfort, to encourage, to rebuke and reprove, so that we might share in the holiness of our God. Visit us in this word, we pray. Visit us. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Thank you. May be seated. And if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn to Job chapter 19. I woke up and was heading out this morning, and we were getting ready, and I said, John Ann, just pray for me. I think I've got a change coming on here. You've got notes in your that you were handed by Miss Ruby when you came in. Just put those aside. We're not heading that way today. I just wanted to talk about, just in light of what's been happening over the last week, or actually last weekend here in our area, in our region. I know that many of us stayed up and watched and heard about the shootings and all the things that are going on that were related to that. And I had a couple of things that I've been meditating on over the last couple of days. Actually, there's three things that I've been meditating on that I want to share with you right now, right here. And, last week we talked about facing trials, and we had a rough church week the week before with the death of Ray Hernandez. By the way, we have established a fund that you can give to their family, to his family, to Jana, and to Aiden. If you desire to give something to them for expenses, you are welcome to do that through our church. Just when you write the check out, put Hernandez in the memo. We just want to continue to be involved in their lives. But last week, with his death and then with the Sones, that thing that went on with Darcy, and she's doing better, praise the Lord. And last week talking about how we respond to trials, how we respond to days like last week, and then how we respond to days like this weekend. We have a brother and family in our church, Robert Mendez, whose cousin was one of the police officers that were shot and died. And so it touches us. It touches us in some way. Others have family that are actually Dallas police officers. And so these things touch us. And I wanted to just say a couple of words about what the scripture says, and just how God just really is encouraging me over the last couple of weeks. You know that you hold in your hand, if you brought it or if it's on a digital on your phone, you hold in your hand the word of God, the scripture, God's word to you and to me. And I just say this, these are words of life, words of life. They bring life to us. And you and I know that when we are thinking about other things, where our heart is in tune on another level to something else, how we can get lost really quick. Is that right? I mean, we can get lost really, really quick and start opening up Facebook pages and seeing all the things that are going on, or the things that aren't going on, that we think that are going on, and we begin to eat on that. We begin to feed on that. And the Bible says, listen, we need to feed on the word of God, because man doesn't live on bread alone, but on every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. It's our stay. It is our North Star. It is the thing that points us to Christ, that teaches us how to live, how to respond. And so I want to just say to you that the very first thing the things that I've been thinking on over the last 2 weeks, that things that have touched me very personally, and then maybe not as personal, is this passage of Scripture. Now, I don't know about you, but I don't ever want to experience what Job experienced. in just a few short weeks of his life, losing all of his money, all of his livelihood, losing 10 children, losing his health. I mean, you're looking at three areas that we all worry about. Finances, our children, and our health. And he loses it all. The only thing he has left, there's three servants that came and told him what he lost, and he has a wife. And he is suffering. He has three friends who just don't get it and come and sit down and wait for several days before they even say anything to him. And then when they start talking, they start blaming. Certainly you wouldn't be going through all this if you were righteous and you were holy. There's something going on in your life. There's some kind of sin problem. There's some kind of stronghold. There's something else going on. And they begin to judge. They begin to accuse. Begin to accuse about stuff they don't even have a clue about. Because in the very first opening pages of Job, God already declared that he was righteous. There was no one else like him who worshiped God, who turned from evil all the time. God already made that clear. Made it clear that Job is not going through suffering right now because of his sin. Now that does happen. There's consequences to our sin. But Job comes to chapter 19 and gives us such a great word. And this is what he says in verse 23. Oh, that my words were written. Oh, that they were inscribed in a book. Hey, do you think? I think God answered his prayer, don't you? We got a whole book about his words. That with an iron stylus and lead, they were engraved in the rock forever. Verse 25, as for me, the one that is sitting on a garbage heap in ashes, scraping these sores and scraping this stuff with potsherd, as for me who's lost my 10 children, as of me who's lost everything that I've ever owned, destroyed. As for me, in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the heartache, in the midst of the loss, I know that my Redeemer lives. And at the last, he will take his stand on the earth. Even after my skin is destroyed, yet from my flesh I shall see God, whom I myself shall behold, and whom my eyes will see, and not another. There's a future in Job's life that in the midst of the trial, in the midst of the loss, in the midst of the stronghold, has this great faith, and he even states it, in the Redeemer of God who lives. And 2,000 years after the Redeemer died, and 3 days later rose from the dead, 2,000 years later, our Redeemer is still living. He is alive. And he will take his stand on the earth. He will make all things right. And one of the great things that we have in our word is that we know our end. We know how it turns out. But we live life acting like we don't know how it turns out. We write stuff on Facebook like we don't know how things are going to turn out. We see things and we see words and we speak words that are just absolutely, totally nonsense when you know how things turn out. Clay Cooper got into my office early and said, hey, let's pray together. We prayed, and one of the first things he prayed about was the end in heaven. That grand worship service where men and women from every tribe, every tongue, every nation will stand before God and worship him, where the redeemed will worship us. We are the redeemed because our Redeemer lives. He lives. He's alive. That doesn't mean we don't grieve. It doesn't mean that we're not concerned. It doesn't mean that we have this thing stirring in our heart, this burden in our heart. It doesn't mean that we don't have those things. But what it does mean, with the burden and with the grief and with the heartache, we get on our knees and we pray to our great God, and we get up and we not only worship Him, but we live a life of worship. Because my Redeemer lives. Job said it. Job said it in the midst of the horrifying circumstances of his life. He's not restored yet. He doesn't have his health yet. He hasn't started having children again. But I just want to tell you, he knows one thing. My Redeemer lives. That means that he is alive. And that also means that because he's our Redeemer, he has redeemed us and he continues to redeem you. I mean, think about some of the words in Scripture that speak of redemption. For instance, in Psalm 103, and you can let go of Job 19. In Psalm 103, he talks about redeeming our lives from the pit. In verse 1 of this famous great psalm, he says, "Bless the Lord, O my soul. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name." I'm sorry, it's 103. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget none of his benefits, who pardons all your iniquities, who heals all your disease, who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with loving kindness and compassion, and satisfies your years with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagle." Do you see these great benefits of a redeemed life? He's pardoned all your sins. In other words, a pardon is as if it never happened. It ultimately removes the eternal consequences when you receive a pardon. When a person receives a pardon in the United States, they get out of jail. They're restored. He pardoned you. He pardoned us in the midst of all our iniquities, of all our sin, of all our patterns, of all those seasons where we lived after ourselves and lived after sin. He pardoned you and me. That's the benefit of knowing Jesus. Pardon. He heals our diseases. I know that can be kind of difficult today, but I just believe that with all my heart. Heals all our diseases. I want to believe that with everything that I am. Why do I want to believe that? Well, do I believe he pardons all my iniquity? I mean, I believe that. Well, why wouldn't we believe the next line? Why wouldn't we believe the next line? I don't know how healing is supposed to look all the time. I just know it's supposed to be healing. And I just believe that. Do I struggle with the fact that we pray for people when we anoint them with oil and they come to the elders and they're not healed immediately? Yeah, we struggle with that. But we know our future. We know it. Look at the benefit of not only healing your diseases, but redeeming your life from the pit. Now listen, go to Psalm chapter 40, if you would, because David understood what it meant to be to be delivered from the pit, to be redeemed from the pit. David is the man after God's own heart, right? He's the guy that Bible says that everything that I ask him to do, he's going to do. He's not going to be like Saul. He's going to be my guy. And I've chosen him because he is a man after my heart. And it's really interesting because David sins royally, doesn't he? Commits adultery with the friend's wife. And then has the friend killed when it's found out that she's pregnant. And then deceives about it. So he becomes an adulterer. He becomes a murderer. And he becomes what? A deceiver. All in one swoop. The man after God's own heart. David said, "I waited patiently for the Lord. And he inclined to me and he heard my cry." Watch this. And he brought me up out of the pit of destruction, out of the miry clay. And he has set my foot upon a rock. And he has made my footsteps firm. And he put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. I know my Redeemer lives. I know my Redeemer lives. In the midst of great, horrible, horrible immorality and moral failure, that I want to tell you that moves through his family with destruction and also affects the kingdom of Jerusalem and of Judea. It affects everybody that is ever related to David. That's what sin does. But yet our Redeemer lives. If you notice back in Psalm 103, when he says he redeems your life from the pit, in verse 4, he'll go on and says, and he'll crown you with loving kindness and compassion, and then will satisfy your years with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagle. How many have experienced the redemption from the pit? Redeemed from the pit. No matter where you've been, no matter where you've struggled, no matter what sin you've sinned, when you came to Jesus, he reached down in the pit and he pulled you out. He didn't pull you halfway out and say, yeah, you got to wait another year and then I'll pull you out a little more. So just kind of hang on another year. And then he comes, pulls you out another time. We got to wait one more year because you know what? You just haven't paid the dues yet. Some of us act like that. No, he pulled out of the pit, put him on the rock, and then crowned him with loving kindness and compassion. It's the crown of glory is what it is. It's the crown of God's glory. That's what loving kindness is and compassion is. It's the crown of his glory. And you, when you were redeemed from the pit, maybe when you first got born again, he pulled you out of the pit, but somehow you slipped down into another one, and God pulled you out and said, oh, here's your crown. His mercies never cease. They're new every morning. Blessed be the name of our Redeemer. He comes to redeem us from the pit. You know, I think it's really easy for us to look at what's happening in the world and what happened over this weekend, and then our grief turns to anger and bitterness. And the minute you do that is the minute you slip back into the pit. Because a bitterness is a pit of destruction. Let me tell you, the anger of a man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. Did you hear that? The anger of a man does not accomplish the righteousness of God. It never has, it never will, except for God, when he was angry enough at sin to deal with it by sending his son to die for you and me, to pull us out of the pit of destruction. He redeemed our life from the pit. Put us on the rock. Put a new song in our heart, a song of praise, a song of God. That's just a metaphor for the glory and the goodness and the joy of God. It's just a new life. It's on the rock, and the rock is Jesus. That's what our Redeemer did. I know that my Redeemer lives. I know that. And I want to live like I know that he lives. I want you to bow with me for a moment. We're not finished, but because I've got a couple more things. But I want you to bow with me for just a moment. When I asked how many of you have been redeemed from the pit, your hands went up. You knew exactly what I meant. You knew exactly what took place that moment you gave your life to Christ, or the moment you found forgiveness and restoration after you failed. You've been redeemed. But let me ask you a question. You may be a redeemed person that's not living the redeemed life. And you've slipped back into the pit. You've slipped back into it. I don't know why. Maybe there's some things going on in your mind, like anger or lust or greed. Those are the three big biggies. But you've slipped back. And you lost your joy, you lost your peace, you lost your fellowship. You just lost it. And you know what? You got to a place where you weren't exercising your gifts anymore. You were a great teacher. You were a great encourager. You were a great giver, a great server. But somehow those things have just gone wiped aside, and you're no longer giving your life back to the kingdom and to the Redeemer who redeemed you. And you know what? I want to just say, enough's enough. He redeemed you. And you may be in the pit, and you may feel like you're not worthy to get out of the pit. But I want to tell you, if you're in the pit, and you're a redeemed person, that you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, listen, you can't be happy in that pit. So will you just right now, in the name of Jesus, reach out to the hand of your great God and Redeemer that you know lives and is living right now and has lived and died for you? Will you just take his hand right now by faith and let him pull you out of the pit right now, right here? Repent where you need to repent. Get rid of guilt. Get rid of shame, because he's already done that at the cross for you. And let him put you on the rock right now. The rock Jesus. I know my Redeemer lives. I know he lives. And maybe in the bottom of the pit, you need to hear it again. You need to see it again. And you need to see the hand of our great God. Because I want to tell you, you may be in the pit immorally in your mind or by deed. You may be in the pit in your marriage. You may be in the pit in just in your service to Christ. You may be in the pit of destruction because you've allowed some things to creep up in your life, and you've gotten disappointed, and disappointment went to a little anger, and a little anger went to bitterness, and all of a sudden, you're just in the mire. And I want to tell you, there's a hand right now that wants to get you out right now. Right now. And by faith right now, will you reach up and grab hold of the hand that created you and the hand that was stretched out and nailed on a cross for that redemption right now, right here? Because you know what? I know my Redeemer lives. And Lord, in the name of Jesus, I want to ask that, Father, that hands in the heart would go up right now to the hand of God and allow you, Father, to pull them out of the pit right now, right here. Put their eyes on you and to quit this nonsensical thinking, this nonsense living, and live a sensible, godly life on the rock, Jesus. I pray, Father, for those in this place that need to come home to you. That need to come home to your goodness and your mercy and your sovereign work, because our Redeemer lives. So right now, in the name of Jesus, I pray, Lord, that you'd birth within us a spirit of faith to reach out to Jesus right now. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just more of that, Lord. From the pit to the rock. In a moment. The pit to the rock in a moment. And I praise God for those of you in this place that have reached out and got yourself pulled out of the pit right now, right here. But let me ask you a question for every one of us. Who do you know right now that's in the pit of destruction? That God wants you to be his hand that reaches down to pull that person up. Who is that person? Who is that man? Who is that woman? Who is that teenager? And maybe it's just you've got to pray for them. You just maybe just need to ask God to bless that son, to bless that daughter with a repentant heart and with a conscience that is just awakened, and to know that God is God and I'm living after something else. And so who is it? Who is it in your life that's in the pit that needs pulled up? And God, I pray for that person. And I ask God in Jesus' name that you'd use the one who knows what we're talking about here. And you'd use their hands to be the hands of God to pull them out of the pit of destruction and put them on the rock. Because we know our Redeemer lives. We know our Redeemer lives. And I thank you, Father, for how you're going to do this. I thank you, Father, for how you're going to work this out. I thank you, Lord, how you're going to move through us to do and to see people on the rock, Jesus. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Yeah, he redeemed you from the pit. He also redeems us from the darkness of this world. Psalm 72:14 says, he will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and their blood will be precious in his sight. There's a redemption from the pit, but it's also a redemption from the darkness of this world. The redemption from oppression and violence. I think about the great New Testament story of the demoniac from Gerasene in Luke chapter 8. Don't have to turn there, but we know the story. The story is that this man is demonized. He's got demons all over him. The Bible says it's so bad that they had to move him from the city to the cemetery. And he was so violent that no one could hold him. He was so violent that they would put chains around him, he'd break them. And Jesus comes across the sea to this area of the Middle East, and this guy runs up to him, and in his demoniac, I mean, he's unclothed, he's naked, he's been in chains, he beats himself with rocks. Violence and oppression all over him. And he comes up to him, and they have this conversation. And the Bible says that Jesus speaks to the demons, and the demons, when he says, what is your name? The demon yells out, legion, because we are many. And then some word that I don't understand at all, but that those demons say, well, don't cast us into the abyss, cast us into those pigs right there. And Jesus does that. Goes into the pigs go headlong, the shepherd or the swine herders come, they're upset, they've lost these things, they're asking Jesus to leave, but when they get to Jesus, they see this demoniac, and the Bible says that he's sitting down, he's clothed, and he's in his right mind. From the pit to the rock. As Jesus gets in the boat, he runs to Jesus, says, hey, I want to go with you, I want to follow you, I want to go with you. He said, no, I need you to be a missionary right now, right here. And I want you to go to the 10 cities. They call it the Decapolis, the 10 cities in this region. And I want you to go tell people what I've done for you today. It's almost like he said, I want you to tell the world, my Redeemer lives. Redeemed from the pit. Redeemed from the strongholds of this life. Redeemed from oppression and darkness, because the Redeemer is the light of the world. He's your light. He's my light. That's who he is. And I just say, hey, church, I say this to Fritcher right here. Oh, I want to believe this with all my heart, and I do. But God, help me when I'm not believing it. Help me in my unbelief to believe my Redeemer lives, and he lives in my heart to redeem you from oppression. Darkness, to redeem you from the pit, to redeem you from your attitude. What kind of attitude do you have today? This permeates just kind of right here, and it flows down into your head and goes all the way through to your bottom of your feet. Attitude. Is it a grumbling, critical attitude, or is it a grateful attitude? You say, well, it's both. Well, let me ask you a question. Do you want to keep living with both? Because I'm going to tell you, live with both. You and I know which attitude will come to the fore. Is it an attitude of entitlement? Is it an attitude of hurt feelings? Is it an attitude that says, I deserve better? I mean, what's the attitude that God needs to redeem you from in this life, right now, right here? I know my Redeemer lives, and he, Jesus, will take his stand on the earth. He will take his stand on the earth. He redeems you from the pit of destruction, from the darkness of this world. He redeems you. Now, what's so great about this passage in Job, that it points to Jesus, the Redeemer. And so here's the second thing that I was thinking about. Turn to Philippians chapter 3, verse 7, if you would. Chapter 3, verse 7. Can I ask you a question? Of all the things that we've seen over the last week, police shooting, the race stuff that's going on, the killing of those officers, man, can you believe that God can redeem us from all that? So I want to challenge you to so use redemptive language. Use redemptive language. Don't rant. Don't rave. Use redemptive language. You know, on a morning like the other morning when we woke up, all you had to do was find a scripture to quote and everybody would know what you were talking about. They would know. You wouldn't have to say anything. You wouldn't have to say anything to do. It's because why? Because the word of God is a word of redemption. It's a redemptive word that we need to be speaking out of our hearts and out of our mouths every single day. I wonder how many likes I'll get on that one. I wonder how many great comments. Well, what about brutal comments? Let's use the word. Words of life. Words of encouragement. Words of redemption. You know, we've been in the middle of a series, and we'll get back to it, when the resurrected words of Jesus, where he says, peace be unto you. Peace be unto you. As the Father sent me, I send you. And then he says, receive the Spirit of God. Those are redemptive words. Those are the resurrected words of Christ, and that's what redemption is. When you got out of the pit, when the demoniac got out of the demonic control, what happened? He was resurrected. And I want to ask you, do you believe that what we've been through in our culture and as a nation, that we can be redeemed from the pit? And you said yes. So start speaking words of life. Can you imagine that you're in the pit over your junk, over your struggle, and God came and spoke something different than wonderful words of life? Ah, you made your bed, lie in it. It's all your fault. Again, I can pull you up a couple of feet, but we're going to have to wait and pull you out just to see how you're going to respond. No, he spoke words of life on you and me. I know my Redeemer lives. The second thing that I've been just mulling over is this thing called the power of the resurrection. Paul says to the Philippians, whatever things were gained to me, those things I've counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord, in whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and I count them, watch, but rubbish. That word's a very graphic word in the Greek. It's so graphic that I can't say it from the pulpit. But just think of manure. He says, all these things that were such a gain to me, all these things that I valued in this life, in contrast of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ, all that stuff's manure, it's rubbish. And I count them but rubbish so that I may be found, and I may gain Christ, and I may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. And you're thinking, my Redeemer lives. And this thing called redemption is such a resurrection thing. And I just want to say, do you think, Ezekiel 37, do you think that these bones can live? Dead bones. Stuff that's been dead a long time. Can it come to life? You might have something that's been dead in your life. There might be something that's just like dead bones. And I believe in the name of Jesus that God can say to you, into any situation that we're struggling with, He could come and say, live. And put the breath of God back into that marriage, to that situation, to that diagnosis, the breath of God into that pain that we're going through in Dallas, to that racial tension. Listen, folks, we are reconcilers of Christ. And when he made peace, he broke down all those walls. That's why the only answer to the decay that we see around us is Jesus Christ, our Redeemer. But it was found because of the resurrection from the dead. If the resurrection doesn't happen, we can't expect redemption. But the resurrection happened so that you and I might be redeemed and resurrected from the sorry stuff that we've lived in to a new life with him. Paul says it this way. He says, I count everything as loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Because I want to know him. I want to know the power of his resurrection. Let me just say what that means. In order for resurrection to happen, there has to be death. There can't be a resurrection until there's a death. And that's why he said, I want to know him in the fellowship of his sufferings. I want to know the power of his resurrection. Well, do you want to die in a couple of things? Wow. And that's just a part of the gospel. The Bible says that, listen, if you're a farmer and you buy seed and you keep it in your silo or whatever, not your silo, but wherever you keep your seed and you don't put it in the ground, is that seed going to come to fruit? No, it's not going to come to fruit. That seed has to die. It has to be put in the ground and die for it to produce fruit. And so my question in all of this week is, what are the things that I have to die to? Because I want to tell you this week, my flesh went to some places that I didn't want it to go. And let me tell you, when you wake up and you see your flesh going to some places you don't want to go, you know what it's time for? It's time for a death. It's time for a death. You know that in the Christian life, death is good. Because you die to the stuff that keeps you down. And you live to the resurrection power of Jesus Christ. And you think, I worship that. I worship that career. I worship that money. I worship that retirement account. I worship that person. I worship that political view. I worship that. I worshiped all that. Only one God. He's our Redeemer. And I know my Redeemer lives. And I want to know the power of his resurrection right now, right here. I want to know it for every area of my life. And you know what? I want you to know it. I want us to know it corporately as the body of Christ in this local area and our friends. I want us to know the power of the resurrection of Jesus. I love what the old African-American preacher who preached one day about the resurrection of Jesus. It may be Friday, but Sunday's coming. Listen, it may be Friday or Thursday, however you think, okay? But Sunday is coming. That's the power of the resurrection. That in the midst of my junk, in the midst of my stuff, if I'll just kind of get my head up and look to the future of who God is and what God says, I can know that Sunday's coming. Because I know my Redeemer lives. All that we've talked about. Matter of fact, the third thing and the final thing I want to say, I'm going to close with this, it's just real brief, is Philippians chapter 3, verse 13. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, this is not some kind of bumper sticker theology for the famous football player who can score 20 touchdowns in a year. Please! This is for the front line. This is for the trenches of eternity here. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My Redeemer lives. I know this resurrection power. I know it personally. And as a result, I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can love God. I can love my neighbor. I can love my spouse. I can love my enemy through Christ who strengthens me. I can overcome sin's power. I can overcome my addiction, my prejudice. I can overcome my anger, my malice, my unforgiveness, and my bitterness through Christ who strengthens me. I can get out of this financial mess. I can exercise my gifts. I can be an influence, have impact. I can be free of guilt and shame through Christ who strengthens me. I can respond in love, not hate, encourage and bless, not discourage and curse. I can believe the word. I can forgive my brother or my dad or my mama or my enemy or anyone else who's ever offended me. I can do that through Christ who strengthens me. We can fulfill our purpose, exercise our gifts, speak and share Christ, be a witness, love well through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. These, for me, have been words of life. I know my Redeemer lives. I know I can know him in the power of his resurrection. And I know that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Bow with me in prayer. Would you do that? You know, I can get through loss. And I can get through grief. And I can get through sadness. I can through Christ who strengthens me. I can get through my past and all the dumb stuff I've done through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can provide for my family through Christ who strengthens me. I can provide for my family the finances they need, the spiritual direction they need, the emotional health they need through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do my hobbies. And I can have leisure through Christ who strengthens me. I can do the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, through Christ who strengthens me. Lord, I want to thank you that our Redeemer lives today. I want to thank you that there is a resurrection power that we get to live in today. I thank you that there are redemptive words that we can speak over things that we know are redeemable. We know that the events of last week, we know the race tensions of our country. Lord, we know the things that we really angst over in the political world. We know, Lord, we know that those things are redeemable because our Redeemer lives. I'm asking for a church, Lord, who looks to Jesus and not the stuff, who looks to Jesus and not the junk, that looks to Jesus, puts their trust in him. They look to him like we saw last week, and they'll never, ever be ashamed. Thank you for living, Redeemer. Thank you for resurrecting us from the dead. Thank you, Lord, for giving us life. We ask these things in Jesus' name, knowing that we can do all these things through Christ who strengthened us. And I ask these things in your name, Christ Jesus. Amen and amen. Wonderful words of life. Wonderful words of life. That's what people need
when you walk out of here and you're, we need wonderful words of life. Speak wonderful words of life. Amen. You know, last week we usually have First Sunday welcome for all new members of baptism on the first week. And then we thought as a staff we'd move it to the second week, which is today. And then we don't have anybody joining today, but we have a fellowship right afterwards. So we're going to celebrate Lily, who was baptized last week, right? And we're going to have a fellowship for her. Amen? Okay? And so, if you're new to us and like to become a part of Cottonwood, we do have just a procedure that's not hard. It's not tough. And you just see me if you'd like to become a part, if you'd like to be baptized, okay? And so we're gonna stand right now, and I'm going to bless you. I want to ask God to bless you. If you're visiting with us, hang around, okay? Because if you're visiting with us, just know that the side doors are locked. You can't get out. You can't get out the side doors. You got to come through the fellowship hall, okay? Okay. Just kidding. All right. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you. The Lord be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. Peace right now. Now, let me just say this. Shalom is this great Hebrew word that we know as peace. I learned something this week, that ancient Jewish folks describe shalom as nothing missing, nothing broken. That's my blessing to you. Nothing missing this week, nothing broken this week. May that peace rest upon you. Amen. All right, let's have some cookies and punch together, okay? All right.